Welcome to No More Desire. My name's Jake Castleman. I've had personal experience with what it takes to get clean and stay clean of porn. And now I'm helping others just like you break free and step into their new life. Through one-on-one coaching, daily check-ins, and life-changing material, I help others break free of porn and never look back. To discover how you can overcome porn addiction, go to nomoredesire.com. This is Jake Castleman with No More Desire. Welcome to the show, my friend. So happy to be here today talking to you about how to ease stress. Stress management is really one of the key components of breaking free of addiction. Stress itself isn't the reason that we go to addiction. And for that matter, neither are sexual urges or biological components. We can deal with these types of things effectively without going to addiction. But the management of stress, how we handle it, how we perceive it, what we do with it, you know, do we lean into it or do we try to escape it? That is very key to breaking free of addiction. And so today I want to talk to you about five steps that we can take in order to manage stress, to come out on top. And I will say that for me in my life, I just hit 9 years of sobriety 5 days ago. Another big milestone for me. Grateful to God for that. You know, I've seen that these really challenging times that I've faced, because there's been a lot of them, these key times where I have been filled with craving due to a highly stressful time in my life, and then me not really accepting that stress, leaning into it effectively, wanting to escape it. And that's normal, right? For a lot of us, when we've dealt with addiction in the past, we have a lot of wiring in our brain that's set up to want to escape, to want to run from stress, from difficult emotions, from challenges. You know, if we're laid off from a job, or if we have a loved one pass away, or if we, you know, if someone close to us says some really hurtful things to us, if we have conflict in the home, if we have a hard day at work, you know, that's just nonstop, and we're in a difficult emotional state, and handling that hard day is a real challenge. Navigating these types of emotions in an effective way, it can be difficult. It's not an easy thing. So I want to talk to you about how I have learned and how I teach my clients to manage stress effectively in five steps. And before I share these five steps with you, if you've not downloaded my free ebook, go to nomoredesire.com, scroll down the page, click get my free copy. I'll shoot it straight over to you. It's 80 pages of material that I've worked on, really concepts I've worked on for over the last decade, things that I work on others with from a professional place, stuff I've worked on personally in my own recovery, things that I've learned from my degree in psychology and over 3 years in the mental health field. So that resource is there for you. Please check it out, my friend. That's completely free. So these five steps to accept emotion and lean into discomfort, really, because that's what we're seeking to do, right? If we want to ease stress, if we want to manage stress, we need to accept emotion and lean into discomfort. Accept emotion and lean into discomfort. That's what we're trying to do here. So again, to kind of emphasize that, in order to ease stress, we are not going about trying to instantly replace our negative thoughts with positive ones. That's not the key. Okay, that can be effective. Don't get me wrong. That's a great thing. However, if we are fighting our negative thoughts, we're trying to resist, deny them, step away from them, say they're not there. I'm going to think positive thoughts. I'm not going to think negative ones. We are really in a conflict with our negative thoughts, which is feeding them more power. It's giving them more control. Whereas if we accept the negative emotions, if we see them, if we're aware of them, we observe them, right? We don't allow them to be a part of who we are, because we very easily associate and identify with our emotions. If I feel angry, I say, I am angry. If I feel sad, I say, I am sad, right? And that's in the English language. It's different in other languages. From what I understand, in Spanish, it's I have sadness or I have anger. I could be wrong on that. I do not know Spanish, but from the bit that I do, I think that's the case. So it's interesting that we literally, in the English language, identify with our emotions. We say they are who we are. And so one of the keys, right, before I get into this five-step process, just in it from a general standpoint, we are observing our emotions. We're observing them. And we're not running from the discomfort of life, because we're inevitably going to face discomfort and challenges on a daily basis. Every single day, it's never going to end. Okay, life is going to throw you curveballs. It's going to throw you challenges. God wants you to grow, and therefore you will experience hardship and challenges and difficulties. So those are going to keep coming. And you're going to experience good things too. Right? It's important not to forget that. We're going to experience positive emotions, lucky breaks, quote unquote luck. I don't know that I necessarily believe in luck. I believe in great planning. I believe in the blessings of God. And I believe in effort, time, right? Being wise in making decisions and then setting ourselves up for good opportunities when we're prepared for them. But all these are going to come into our life. And so that discomfort is inevitably going to come every single day. If you don't face discomfort on a daily basis, one of two things is true. One, you're living a pretty dang good life, and you've got your emotions handled quite well. And you're just living present, living your best life. Or two, you're not living a challenging enough life. So we're going to face that discomfort. So we accept emotion. We lean into discomfort. Right, I like to say when it comes to sobriety, one of the best ways to kind of describe it is on a daily basis, we look at and experience the discomfort, the hard things in life, and we lean into them with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So step one in easing stress is to pray. I know that's cliche, but we got to be a team with God here, a team with God in everything that we do. That's one of the biggest, again, I say this a lot, there's a lot of keys to recovery, but that is a basis. It's a foundation. You're a team with God. You're reaching out to Him in everything that you do every day. You know, I reach out to God for things as simple as what I'm eating for a meal. Hey, God, I want to eat something that's good for my body right now. You know, I'd like to eat something that's balanced and positive. Would you just give me your will on that? Doesn't have to be anything big. Doesn't have to be some big grandiose prayer. You know, it can be 5 seconds. But I'm reaching out. Hey, Lord, I want to do good today. Can you give me some words for this person to comfort them? You know, or could you give me some insights? You know, if I'm talking to a client or if I'm having a conversation with my spouse, give unto me the words you want me to say to them for their best good. So that's the first step, right? We start to experience negative emotion, and the moment that it pops up, we pray and we say, God, I ask you to give me your focus, your strength, your guidance. What am I going to do with this emotion? How do I best handle it? How do I proceed from here? Will you give to me guidance to do that? Okay, step two is we call out the emotion. Call out the emotion. What am I feeling? It's very easy to feel negative thoughts, mostly fear or anger, and to try to hide from them, escape from them, try to deny that they're there or not really see them for what they are. What am I in fear of? What am I feeling anger about? And ultimately, anger underneath the surface, there is fear. Fear is in so many ways the root of all negative emotion, I believe. And I think Buddhist teachings back that up to a degree. They say that desire is the root of all negative emotion, but fear is a consistent theme that's talked about, I think. And so we call out the emotion. What am I feeling? What am I experiencing? Right? If I just got laid off from my job, then I'm going to feel a lot of negative things. I'm going to probably feel betrayal. I'm going to feel anger. I'm going to feel fear. Okay, and so I need to look at that and say, what am I in fear of? Okay, well, I'm in fear that my family's not going to be taken care of. Or I'm in fear that now what do I do with all this extra time? Right? This is a vulnerable situation for me. Okay, that's what I'm in fear of. I'm in fear that I may not find another job. I'm in fear, how are we going to make ends meet? And all these fears, right, they make us aware of some important things about our situation. We need to know those things, but then what are we going to do with them? Right? Step three is slow breathing. Okay, we're gonna breathe slowly, and we can kind of do all this at once, right? We can be praying, calling out the emotion, slow breathing. That's gonna be slowly in through the nose for 4 seconds, out through the mouth for 8 seconds. Or you can box breathe. That's 4 seconds in, hold for 4 seconds, out for 4 seconds. I love to do in through the nose for 4, out through the mouth for 8. That works well for me. So we're praying. We're calling out the emotion. We're breathing slowly. Step four is going to be gratitude. Gratitude for the situation, even if it's a difficult one. You know, hey, I'm grateful that I've had a job. I'm grateful that we've had income coming in. That's a blessing. Imagine if I didn't have one this whole time. Yeah, I'm grateful that, let's say it was a layoff, right? I'm grateful that I didn't do anything performance-wise to cause this. Who knows? You know, maybe there was something involved there. But it's a layoff. It's not a fire. I didn't get fired. We can think, man, I'm grateful for all the good times I had with coworkers. Grateful I have those memories. I'm going to miss them. I'm grateful I'm going to miss them. You know, if I hated all of them, that'd be unfortunate. Grateful I have the experience that I do, right? I have experience to carry with me. I'm grateful that I have other options, right? I live in a country where I can find other options. I'm not doomed. There are options. I can get another job. I'm grateful that I have a family, right? Or I have people around me. Right? Who do I have around me? Who are those people specifically? What am I grateful for about them, right? These are the types of things that we can think. Get focused in on that gratitude for simple things and any simple small things in the moment. And do this all with God. Just keep that prayer going. Keep that prayer going. Okay, call out the emotion. Breathe slowly. Focus on thoughts of gratitude. And then you're going to determine what to do next. Okay, that's step five. What are you going to do next? You're going to take everything in baby steps. All right, baby steps. That's key. Very easily, and with the clients that I work with, I've consistently noticed that perfectionism is a recurring theme. All or nothing thinking, in other words, is a recurring theme. We addicts have this habit, a majority of us, I believe, of trying to eat the whole cow at once rather than taking things in small bites. The reason that we procrastinate or that we try to escape or run, part of the reason at least, is we put too much pressure on ourselves. We think we have to do all this all at once, when really we just got to take the first step. You know, I was talking to one of my clients recently about, doing homework can be one of their biggest triggers. And I was saying how when you sit down to write an essay, it can be overwhelming, right? Thinking about, okay, I got to write 5 pages on such and such topic that I know nothing about, you know, and I'm going to need to engage in all that and write all these, you know, I have to figure out all the topics and I got to figure out everything I'm going to write about. And it needs to, you know, be really awesome so I can get an A. And the quality should be great. And obviously I need to, you know, look up as many resources as I can and get as much expertise in there as I can. And I really want it to be great for the teacher. And, you know, I want to make sure this is good so I can get a scholarship later. And all these emotions, all this pressure all at once, when really all I got to do is open up a Word document or Google Docs. That's all I got to do. That's my step. Okay. The next step is going to be figure out a title, right? Or the next step is going to be, what topics am I going to write on? Okay, so what resources do I have to go to? Okay, I'm going to open up my book or open up, you know, whatever article online or whatever it happens to be. I'm going to start scanning through there, reading through there. What is there on this topic out there? Okay, so I'm going to start putting in topics, writing down topics, just ideas. They don't have to be official, right? It's not, and that's another thing, right? We think that we have to do everything in the first draft, whether that be an essay or anything in life. We think we got to do it just right the first time. We don't. Everything is a draft. Everything's a draft. Even when we think it's the final copy, it's still a draft. And that, knowing that, opens us up so we can be creative, right? Allowing ourselves to make drafts, to explore, to experiment. So we're just writing out topics, possible topics. Write them out, keep going, right? Looking at a few different articles, scanning through things, just exploring, that's all. Then once we have our topics, okay, perfect, I've got my topics. Now, let's start with topic one. What am I going to write on that? Okay, let's look up my resources on that. I'm going to write down, you know, notes from whatever such and such resources. And then just go one by one by one and just write out, right? Just get words out on a page. It doesn't have to be anything crazy or perfect. It doesn't have to sound good. Just get your thoughts out on each of those topics. Write out material on each of those topics. Then come back later, right? The next step would be to come back later and edit, make it sound better. It's all taken in small baby steps. You're not writing the whole essay right now. The first thing you do is open up a Google Doc. So baby steps. And I will say that another thing that can be really helpful is we always ask ourselves in any situation, what is my purpose? What is my purpose here? What am I trying to accomplish long term? Who am I trying to serve? I would say more accurately, that's going to be your greatest purpose. What am I trying to do for my family? Who is this for? Why? Right? Who can I dedicate this work to? Because if I can dedicate this work to somebody, that's going to fill me with motivation, stronger than anything else. That's why I think families are ordained of God. If we can get focused in on our family, that's the reason for our work. That's the reason that we exercise. That's the reason that we eat well. That's the reason that we go to school, right? They're the reason that we wake up early in the morning. They're the reason that we lack sleep sometimes. Right? It's all for them. It's for our family. If you got a wife and a kid, right? Or you can dedicate it to somebody else, or you can dedicate it to who you're serving out in the world, or if you're going to school to get a degree, who are those people you're going to help? What kind of good are you going to do? Are you going to be an accountant? Okay, well, that's helping people's families, right? That's supporting a business. You want to be a great accountant, right? You want to be great because you want that great business to grow. That's helping the CEO. That's blessing their lives. That's blessing the lives of every single employee in that entire building. You're doing it all for them and for their family so that they can have a livelihood. And you're doing it for your family if you have one, right? Dedicate your acts to people. So those are the five steps. One, pray. Two, call out the emotion. Three, slow breathing. Four, gratitude. Five, take it in baby steps. I hope this episode's been helpful for you, my friend. If you want to take recovery seriously, join my coaching program. Just set up an initial consultation with me by going to nomoredesire.com/coaching. You're going to benefit from my professional experience working with clients. I have over 3 years of experience in the mental health field thus far. I also have volunteer experience and experience working with others on a one-on-one basis. I have personal experience. I've been sober over 9 years. I was an addict, if you include all my addictions, for over 15 years. I have experience with these things personally. You're going to benefit from all that. I have, within the program, daily check-ins you're doing every single day. I'm not checking in with me personally, but you're filling out a daily check-in with very specific questions so that I can understand exactly what you're going through on a daily basis and so that you can understand as well. You fill out that check-in, you shoot all the data over to me so that when we meet on a weekly basis in our sessions, I can speak to you about exactly what you're going through and practical answers for what we can do in order to get you to a sober place in life. We work on personalized plans and goals, and you have an entire curriculum that you're working through. At the same time, I give you full access to that curriculum, which has 8 units, a bunch of lessons to guide you step by step through getting sober, my friend. Please rate this podcast. In order for people to find it, it's got to be rated, right? So rate the podcast. I appreciate that so more people can find this and get help. God bless and much love, my friend.
Everything expressed on the No More Desire podcast are the opinions of the host and participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of a qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.